Let's stand and worship together. We're so glad you're here. Let's sing. Come all you weary.
Come all you weary. Come all you thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink up the water. Come and thirst no more. Come all you sinners. Come find his mercy.
Best verse, bring all your failures.
No other God deserves our highest praise. Welcome to Prestonwood. You may be seated. Welcome to Prestonwood. This is an incredible day. Welcome those who are online. Welcome to Prestonwood Worship. We are so glad to be here. I am Gilberto Corredera, the pastor of Prestonwood En Español, a ministry who is meeting here every single Sunday at 2 o'clock and also in the Louisville campus. But today is a special day because today across the church we are celebrating the Hispanic heritage. And we are so glad that we have a pastor and a team who have a vision to reach the nations from our neighborhood to the end of the world. We carry that incredible message, the message of the gospel. So today will be an incredible day because many of you will worship in Spanish. Are you ready? And you will meet a part of our incredible team of worship, the people who lead worship every Sunday at 2 o'clock. But before that, I want to pray. Maybe you came here with a burden in your heart. Maybe you came here asking, God, do you still have an answer for me? And I want to pray for you. But I want to let you know this. Everything worked for good to those who love the Lord. He's not done with you yet. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible opportunity that we have to come before you to worship, to express our gratitude, and also to bring our burdens to you. Lord, we want to worship. We want to exalt your name. And we want your presence be real in our life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church says, amen.
There's a name that can silence every fear. There's a love that embraces the heart of the pain and the tears. Through my faith and my doubting, I know one thing for sure. His word is unfailing, his promise secure. Todo va a estar bien, everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. The whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and it's true. The whole world's in his hands. Y todo va a estar bien. Oh, oh, oh. Everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh.
Everything's gonna be alright, but my circumstances say I won't last through the night. I need your word to hold me now, need you to pull me through. I need a miracle, a breakthrough, I need you. You say you hold the whole universe in your hands, but my world's falling apart like it is made of sand. Am I small enough to slip through the cracks? Can you take my broken pieces and put them back? Give me faith to believe you're working on my side. Open my eyes to see you're working in my life. Let the past remind me you never fail. And tell my soul it is well. Oh, todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. The whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and it's true. The whole world's in his hands. Y todo va a estar bien. Oh, 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 everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh,
todo va a estar bien.
Oh, 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 everything will be alright. Oh, oh, oh,
Padre, te confieso a corazón abierto. que todo muy incierto en este desierto, mi vulnerabilidad está al descubierto. Siento que mi barca está muy lejos de su puerto. ¿Por qué será que ya no sale el sol en mis días? ¿Por qué mis noches son tan frías? ¿Por qué será que siento que me falta algo? ¿Por qué este camino gris se siente tan largo? Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te sienta. Sé que estás sobrando aunque no te vea. Sé que voy a salir de esta odisea. Sé que voy a ganar esta pelea. Sé que va a cesar esta marea temporaria. Que en ti yo viviré una vida extraordinaria. Que aunque no pueda entender, me consuela saber que todo,
yo sé que todo va a estar bien. Everything will be alright. The whole world's in his hands. The whole world's in his hands. In the darkness, in the trials, he's faithful and it's true. The whole world's in his hands. Y todo va a estar bien.
Todo va a estar bien.
Oh, oh, oh. Everything will be alright.
Yo, yo.
Oh, oh, oh.
Todo,
y todo va a estar bien.
Yo, yo.
Oh, oh, oh. Everything will be alright. The whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands.
Todo el mundo.
Todo el mundo en su mano está. Todo el mundo en su mano está. Todo el mundo en su mano está.
Todo va a estar bien.
Todo va a estar bien.
My goodness. I wish we could just all sit down and do that again. That was really, really good. And it's a little bit of taste of heaven, isn't it? You know, they say that Spanish is the language of heaven. I don't know. But it is a beautiful language and a beautiful, beautiful people, Gilberto. And we're so grateful that our church is embracing the world, and that includes the Hispanic Latin world. And, you know, Gilberto is from Cuba and came to us a decade ago. And it's a wonderful story. In fact, it's a story I tell in my latest book, Reignite. Yep. We talk about Gilberto and his faith that brought him here. And even in the midst of, well, I think I'll just hold it and I'll share it in the sermon. It just reminded me, it'd be a good sermon illustration for this morning. But and you and your beautiful family are here. And you know, Preston Wood Espanol, we were rocking along and doing our best, and yet it just really wasn't quite happening. We had maybe 100 people who were coming, and then this man came, and the anointing of God is upon his life, and he has just led us forward. And now, how many nations in the Latin world are represented every Sunday? And beyond, on, of course, internet, online, but we have how many nations listening and participating and worshiping with us?
Well, it's unbelievable. We have 20 nations 20? Worshiping every single day right here.
Yeah.
And I was reflecting, and this is part of our worship team. Mm-hmm. And just looking at them, we have four nations right there. We have Colombia, we have Dominican Republic, we have Puerto Rico, and half American right there. So,
yeah. Oh, that's good. And we are so grateful that we are able to reach these nations and beyond with the gospel. And Gilberto is on television every week. Tell us about our Espanol television. It's adjacent with PowerPoint. It's a part of our outreach. Tell us about
Well, it's another Telemundo. Blessing that I never believed that we are doing that. Every single Sunday, we are on Telemundo Dallas, a secular station, 8:30 in the morning, preaching the gospel to everybody in this area.
Yeah, yeah. So every afternoon on Sunday, and of course the church is active all week long, doing so many wonderful things, sharing Christ and meeting needs in people's lives. And tell us about Prestonwood Espanol. We are at how many people now? We've actually expanded to Louisville with a second campus. Tell us a little bit. Give us a little flavor of what's happening on Sundays.
Well, every Sunday at 2 o'clock, we start worshiping here. But 12:45, we have small groups in all this building. And after 12:45, we have small groups. Also, we have a class at 11, who is in Spanish, Berea. If you are here, you want to take a class in Spanish at 11, is here. So we have a class at 11, we have class at 2, at 12:45, and we have a great service here in this place at 2 o'clock every Sunday.
And it's a great service, and I'm looking forward to being with you today.
Yes.
And I get to hear that again at the 11 o'clock service, and I get to hear it again at 2 o'clock. So,
amen.
I bet you wish you could hear it three times.
And so, you want to stay for it.
So very, very beautiful. Thank you for your giving, Prestonwood. You know when you give your tithes and offerings here, you are investing in the kingdom of God and the work of this great church, which is reaching the world with the gospel of Christ. So thank you for praying. How can we pray specifically, Gilberto, for Prestonwood Espanol right now?
Well, I will give you three things that you pray for us. Number one is that for the leadership, me and the rest of my team, that we can have wisdom and strength to follow what God is calling us to do. Sometimes require a lot of faith, but we want to have the faith to accomplish that. Number two, we want to ask you for our online and broadcast outreach. We are dreaming to be next year, in Dallas forward. We want to be in other countries around the world. And third, we want to ask you to pray for our third location that very soon will be, you will hear more, but we are praying and planning to be in North Campus to start another service there.
A third location of Prestonwood Espanol, that would be fantastic. And I know one more thing we can pray about because you've come to me with this, and that is training pastors and church leaders in Espanol to serve.
Well, 2022, next year, January, we are starting a new church planting training center here at Prestonwood to train pastors and leaders to plant churches.
All right.
Thank you.
Lord, how we thank you for your love for us that truly never lets us go, knowing that all things are working together for the good. It's going to be all right. To those who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. Thank you for this sweet song of salvation and hope and life, and for these who sing it, and for the worship of Prestonwood Espanol that rises from this place every day. And on this day, the Lord's day, your day, God, we pray for these services, and we pray that you would bless Alberto as he preaches the gospel. Thank you for the anointing upon his life and the powerful witness he is to the nations. And so, Lord, we give with gratitude and with thanksgiving in our hearts each time, knowing that what we give gets to the world with the message of Jesus. And we pray this in your wonderful and powerful name. Amen and amen.
Promise still stands, great is
A new wind, a fresh fire burning in our church these days. Do you sense that? Do you see that? I do. And I believe that's true for many reasons that I can mention. But the hand of God is moving across our congregation and this community and around the world through Prestonwood. And we are blessed by the favor of God and the faithfulness of God. I know this past month, September, and here we are in October already. But in this past month, we spent time, more time perhaps than normal, in focused and fervent prayer. It was a month of prayer here at our church. And so many of you joined us in this every single day. And we know that God always answers the prayers of his children. And we're so grateful for that. And I believe God is moving in our services across this church, around the world. And we do recognize and remember all of you who are watching online. This past week, so many opportunities with technology today. This past week, Jack Raymond, who is our online pastor, and I jumped online with about 50 people from around the world for a cup of coffee with the pastor, we called it. And I was able to talk and communicate, hear stories of people who are watching from all over the world. Some of you, it's 7, 8 o'clock in the evening on Sunday where you are. But we are so grateful for this opportunity to expand and enlarge the witness of this church in these days. And the pandemic has and is tough, but we know that God is doing something in the pain, and there's profit in the pain, and there's even pleasure in the pain and through the pain. because our God is glorified. And I want to talk to you today around that theme on the subject, when life doesn't make sense. So open your Bibles. That's what we do here at Preston Wood, to Romans 8. Open your Bibles. You know, everything is wrapped around what happens in this room, this worship that we have just experienced, and then the Word of God. This is what we do. And what I do is to preach Christ and teach the Bible. And if you're looking for a church like that, where Christ is exalted, where we're preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God each week, then welcome to all of you. At the close of this service, I will be inviting people to know Christ and others to be added to the church. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing here, and we would love for you to be a part of what God is doing here, then please join with us today. But I'm talking about when life doesn't make sense. It's really a follow-up to our time together last week in Romans 8, and the verses are the same. Beginning in verse 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. For the creation eagerly awaits with anticipation for God's sons to be revealed. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will also be set free from the bondage to decay into the glorious freedom of God's children. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. Not only that, but we ourselves, we have the Spirit as the first fruits. We also groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Now in the hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? Now if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patience or endurance. In the same way, verse 26, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with inexpressible groanings." There's that word again. Groan or groanings. "And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Three times the word groaning shows up in this passage of Scripture. There is the groaning of creation. The world is wounded, a broken place. There's a thing now people will often say to you when you place your order at the nearest fast food joint and you put your order in, you put it in well, they'll say, "Perfect." You hearing that? So much more. You ask your kids, you know, "How's your day going?" "Perfect. Perfect," you know. Ask the, you know, "How's the sermon?" "Perfect." I don't know that I've heard that too much, but, and nor have I ever delivered a perfect sermon, but I'm going for it. But, you know, it's a thing. "Perfect. How's your dog?" "Perfect." Well, I get it, but this is not a perfect world, is it? There's really nothing perfect this side of the beauty and the glory of heaven. This is not paradise. Paradise was lost in the Garden of Eden when the man and the woman sinned against God, and this virus of sin assailed the world, and we are all infected and affected by the result of sin. And therefore, we live in this broken world, and as a result, we often ask, "Why?" or "Why this?" or "Why now?" or "Why me?" Because sometimes life just doesn't add up. Sometimes it doesn't make sense, does it? When we don't understand what we're going through, when it seems the plan is broken, and yet God has promised us a hope and a future. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you. Plans not to harm you, but to bless you, to give you a future and a hope." And this is our hope in the midst of the groanings and the griefs of this life, that all of the groanings will be lost in the glory that is to come. The glory that is to come when Christ comes for us and receives us and we live in a perfect place, then a perfect world. A new world is coming when Christ comes again. Then it will be perfect. But until then, there are these groanings. And we wonder why. We wonder how we can suffer, how we can take it. All of creation is groaning. Now, it's true, and I do love the song, He's got the whole world in His hands. But the world that God holds in His hands at this hour is a very broken world. And yet, He holds it in His hands. And He's making things new by this new creation, the church, and the Spirit of God working in and through His people to establish this eternal kingdom. But until then, we live in a world that is subject to futility. That's what the scripture says here. This world is subject to futility, a word which means empty, a word which means without purpose. And it is subject to disease and decay and destruction and death. And it's not creation's fault. It's not the world at large. It's not nature's fault. The natural world is broken by the fault of man and our sin and the curse that falls upon us. No, this is now a polluted and imperfect world. And we groan. There's so much about this world that is beautiful, isn't it? You look at the glory of creation and you see the beauty of all that God has done and all that God has made. And in so many ways, it is beautiful. I am reminded of a little girl who asked her mother, they were out looking at the stars one evening, such a beautiful evening, and they were looking at the stars. And how glorious it is to see that the heavens declare the glory of God. And she was seeing that and she said, Mommy, if the wrong side of heaven is so pretty, how pretty must heaven really be? So in so many ways, we see the beauty, the touch of God's hands, and we can celebrate the creation, and we're to be stewards of what God has made. But we must admit that this world is groaning, and that includes me and you, because he also says in verse 23 that not only does creation groan, but the Christian groans. Look at verse 23 again. Let's just review it one more time. For it says, not only that, but we ourselves who have the Spirit as the first fruit, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. We are the family of God. We possess the Spirit of God, the children of God. We are. We are adopted into His family, and adoption is a big deal. I heard about two brothers. They were talking, and one was a biological child, and one of the young men was an adopted child. And they were having a fight one day, and so the biological child pulled his biggest weapon, he thought. He said, well, you know what? You're not even a member of this family. You know, I was born into this family. I'm a natural child in this family, to which the adopted child said, well, that's right. But I was actually chosen to be in this family. They were stuck with you. You are a welcome child into the family of God. And we are born again into this family. We are adopted. We are made sons. And at the same time, we are awaiting for the adoption of the sons. In one sense, we are already adopted. We're already there. But we are also, according to the scripture, awaiting the redemption of the bodies. The adoption is not complete. We will be adopted. Until then, we are groaning. And we groan in this world because there is sin and therefore suffering, because Satan is loose in the world. Satan is alive and well and living on planet Earth. And so sin ravages and Satan ravages every one and every person it touches. And if you are a believer and a follower of Jesus, and most of you listening to me right now, you are, you know this is a vexation. This causes us to groan. And you know what groaning is? It's what you do when you get older. You know, when you get out of that chair, you know you're older when you get out of that chair and you go, and you think, that's the same sound my dad made when I was growing up, getting out of that chair. And so there is this groaning as we get older. And you know, I was thinking, when we were younger, for the most part, we weren't all that concerned about the future. When you're young and free, you know, it's all about today. It's all about what's happening now. Not much interest in the future. Happy-go-lucky, lots of smiles. I'm not saying that young people don't face hard times, because they do, but I'm just saying, for the most part, if you think back, when you were young, you didn't think a lot about what is yet to come, and yet then life gets harder, and we take some body blows along the way, and we begin to hurt and suffer, and at times it's not even the physical pain, but the emotional pain that we face. C.S. Lewis said this: mental pain is less dramatic than physical pain, but it is more common and also more hard to bear. The frequent attempt to conceal mental pain increases the burden. It is easier to say my tooth is aching than to say my heart is broken. And so many live with broken hearts, and we groan deeply, and we wonder why. Like the psalmist in Psalm 44. We'll put the words on the screen. Psalm 44. He says, "Wake up, O Lord. Why do you sleep? Get up. Do not reject us forever. Why do you look the other way? Why do you ignore our suffering and oppression?" And then the next verse, 26, says, "Rise up and help us. Ransom us," that is, save us, "because of your unfailing love." One of the reasons we appreciate and love the Psalms so much is the writer, most often David, is so real, so raw, expressing our hurt and our pain and our struggles. I know when I'm going through things in my life, I so often turn to the Psalms. In fact, I read the Psalms most every day, whatever my day is like. But the psalmist is saying here, "God, are you asleep?" And sometimes we wonder, "God, are you asleep? God, do you no longer hear my prayers? God, I'm hurting. Rise up. Wake up." You know, it's okay to ask God questions. I often say it's not okay to question God's character, to question God, who he is. But certainly God welcomes our questions. Jesus said on the cross, my God, why are you forsaken me?" And that was not false pain. That was real pain in his life. At that moment, he was experiencing separation from God the Father and was taking our condemnation and the wrath of judgment of God upon sin. And he cried out, "God, why have you forsaken me?" Certainly we can ask God why, because we do groan, don't we? And suffering is real. But there's another way that we groan within us, and that is, I would say, is the groaning for the world that is to come. There is something, if you are a Christian, if you are a follower of Jesus, there is something deep within that begins to long for heaven and home. This inconsolable longing, that's the way to quote C.S. Lewis again. He said C.S. Lewis described this awareness of something more out there. He said, "There have been more times when I think we do not desire heaven, but more often than not, I find myself wondering whether in our heart of hearts we have never desired anything more or anything else. He went on to say, it is the secret signature of each soul, the incommunicable and unappeasable want. It is the inconsolable longing. You get that? In the midst of the pain and the problems that we have in life, there is this groaning within. There is this inconsolable longing to see Jesus. Amen. To the degree that the Apostle Paul would say, to live is Christ, to die is gain. As long as we are in this present world, there will be pain. This is a fact. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. But then he said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And because of Christ and his work on the cross and the resurrection, we live also, and we live now with this longing, this looking for Christ to come. It's the hope that we have in him, that he would turn every hurt into a hallelujah, that he would turn every dark Friday into Easter, that he would that we would experience in anticipation of this, the longing and the groaning for God and his kingdom, which is to come. In fact, Jesus taught us to pray in the model prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That is the inconsolable longing for all of us who name the name of Christ. There is a groaning within. And the greater the groan, the greater the glory. You know, they put it up in locker rooms, the signs. No pain, no gain. And while that's coach speak, God speak is that the hurt, the pain, the suffering, verse 18 of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that is yet to come. The glory of seeing Jesus. While this pain is in the world, pain will be redeemed when we stand in his presence. God is not the cause of pain and suffering, and he does not promise to prevent pain or suffering in this world. What he did promise is that your pain is not wasted, and it will be worth it all when you see Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? Hope is like oxygen for the soul. Just as you cannot live without oxygen, you cannot live without hope. So many in our world are living without God and therefore without hope. All the bad news is draining the hope out of the hearts of so many. And if you do not know Christ, if you are living a Christless life, you are living a life without hope. Hope is medicine and a miracle for the soul. And the problem that we have in the world today is that so many people are trying to live a normal life without an eternal hope. And you can't live life without hope. The Bible calls this the blessed hope, when Christ comes again. Whatever you're facing, I promise you, according to God's word, the certainty is this, that the best is yet to come, because Jesus is coming again. That's why verse 23 back in our text says, not only that, but we ourselves have the Spirit as the first fruits. We groan with ourselves, eagerly waiting for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And on the other side, we are healed. We no longer hurt. No more sin, no more sorrow, no more suffering. For all these things are passed away. And one day, all the groaning that we experience as Christians, that will be over. And the pain will be no more. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, you will be welcomed home into the presence of God. And you will live a life without sorrow and without suffering in the perfect place that God has prepared for us. Now, I know there's some people who say, well, that's just pie in the sky by and by. You Christians, you know, your religion is a crutch. No, our faith in Jesus Christ is life itself. It's not a crutch. It's more like a ventilator. That we need every breath we take. The oxygen of the soul, which is the hope that we have in Christ, the blessed hope. And that God redeems our suffering. That God takes our suffering and turns it around. God allows trials to strengthen us and to grow us. I want to mention briefly some of the things that we experience when we suffer trials in life. The Apostle James said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And so what does suffering produce? What is the stewardship of our suffering? How can we know that we are not wasting our sorrows? Number one, it proves the reality of our faith. Suffering and how we endure it proves the reality of our faith. 1 Peter 1:7, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which though perishable is refined by fire, may result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ means the return of Christ. And so the fiery trials that we experience in life, these demonstrate, they prove the reality of our faith. And then secondly, these trials and struggles and suffering in this life deepens our dependence upon God. Deepens our dependence upon God and ultimately, therefore, our obedience to God. Thirdly, our trials, our suffering in life energizes our endurance. It's like going to the gym, God's gym. How many of you like going to the gym? Not one that I can see. Yes, some people. I don't like it either, but I go because I know I need it. And to get that exercise, to take that walk, to get the aerobic conditioning going, you know what aerobic means? Dr. Ken Cooper, who invented the word aerobics, it means with air or with breath. So it's like oxygen for the body. And the spiritual exercise of our faith during times of struggle, the endurance that is built, it's like God's gym. It's working out. As we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, it exercises our endurance and we become stronger. We become more mature in our faith as a result of these trials. God does not pamper his children. There are times he pushes us and provokes us and may hurt us in some way to teach us lessons. While he may hurt us, he will never harm us because we are in his grip. The Apostle Paul was hurting. He had a thorn in his flesh. And most think it was some kind of physical illness or limitation in his life. He said, I prayed again and again that this thorn in my flesh, literally this sword in my flesh, could be removed. But God said to him, while he did not remove the thorn in his flesh, that my grace is sufficient for you and that my power is made perfect. There's that word. Power is perfected, made mature in weakness. And so it is in those times that we groan and we cry out to God, God, would you wake up? God, would you rise up? That he does redeem it for his glory and he exercises our endurance and then he propels our witness. Our witness for the gospel of Christ is stronger and better because of the things that we go through. When we are comforted by God, he is the God of all comfort. And with the comfort that we are comforted, we comfort others. And we also are enabled and empowered, therefore, to share the gospel. I think of people who have suffered greatly, who are sharing the gospel so effectively. People like Johnny Erickson Tata, in a diving accident when she was just a teenage girl. Severed spinal cord, and she has been a paraplegic ever since. But she has used that brokenness and that pain in her life, that wheelchair, as a lifelong opportunity to share the love of Jesus Christ and the hope that is in him. I think of my friend Tim Lee, Marine Tim Lee, who's been here on a number of occasions. In Vietnam, he lost both legs in service of our country, returned a broken man. And yet, in the healing and in the hurting, God raised him up, strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And Tim Lee has crossed this country on without legs for all these years, preaching the gospel of Christ, and thousands of people have come into the family of God because Tim Lee has used his pain as a pulpit to preach Christ. While these are extreme examples, all of us can use whatever pain we may experience and problems in life. When we are healed of our hurts and our brokenness, we can stand up again and rise again to use this as a testimony of the fact that God is good, that he does good, and that he's working all things together for the good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to his purpose. And that is our witness to the world. And never forget that you have a Father, Abba, who loves you and who will never let you go. Do you need hope today? Do you need Christ today? Because the only one who can bring us hope in a broken world, a world in which we groan and suffer. You see, everyone suffers. Everyone has pain in life. People who know Christ and people who don't. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are, how wonderful you are, how successful you are, how much money you have. You're still going to have pain and suffering and brokenness in your life. And so do Christians. Just because we're Christians doesn't mean that we don't get cancer or we don't have brokenness in our emotional lives. It doesn't mean that we don't have pain and struggles and suffering in our life. Jesus said the rain falls on the just and the unjust. The difference that Jesus makes is that we have hope. And this hope is always about the future. That's what we read earlier. If you see it today, it's not hope. Hope is all about looking forward and knowing that our future is in his hands. Just as the world is in his hands, you are in his hands. And that is hope. And you can live with the certainty and the confidence of knowing that in this life, you can live in victory. Even your hurts turn to blessings in your life, that God is working everything together for good. And then when life is done, when Christ comes for you, you will be perfect in his presence forevermore. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? We always give an invitation to all of you watching online and everyone in this room. Wouldn't you like to know that all your sins are forgiven? That you're no longer living under the condemnation of your sin and the shame that results? Wouldn't you like to know that you are right with God? The Bible says, prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared to meet God? Wouldn't you like to know that when you meet God, that Jesus himself would advocate for you, that he would stand with you and say, this one is mine. You can know that today by putting your faith and trust in Christ. Wouldn't you like to know that Christ is living in you, that you're not living alone, that you're not going through all this in life empty, futile, without God, without hope, without meaning, without purpose, so empty on the inside, so much grief and so much sorrow? Wouldn't you like to know that there is someone with you and within you who is always there? You can call on him and trust in him and follow him. That wouldn't you want to know that Jesus is living in your life? Many people don't know, but you can know today. And wouldn't you like to know that you're going to heaven one day, that when you die or when Christ comes again, that you are going to be with him in heaven, this perfect place where all the pain and all the struggle and all the suffering is gone. You will be with Jesus and your loved ones who know Christ. Wouldn't you want to know? Don't you want to know that you're going to heaven? You can know. How many of you would say today, and I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand, Pastor, pray for me because I do want to know. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that Jesus is living in my life. I don't want to just worry about that or wonder about that. I want to know that. And I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me that I could have a personal relationship with Christ like that. Would you just hold up your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Pastor, pray for me to fill the emptiness. Yes, yes, yes. More in the balcony. I'm looking upstairs. And online, right where you are, just raise your hand or maybe put a hand over your heart. We're going to have a time of prayer in just a moment. And you can pray and receive Christ. I know there are more. How many would say, I want to know Christ in my life? I need to know. I must know. Pray for me that I would know Christ. Any others? Any others? All right, right where you are, whether you're watching on a screen, right here in this room, pray a prayer like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I've sinned, and I know that I've broken your commandments. But thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again on the third day. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I trust in you. I don't trust in my good deeds. I don't trust in my works. I don't trust the best day I ever lived. Lord, I trust in you and you only. Jesus, come into my life. Just ask him right now. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. Jesus, I call upon your name. So admit that you have sinned, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, confess Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then do one more thing I'm going to ask you to do today. To openly confess and follow him. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. Online, you can publicly profess your faith right now with just texting in this number, 74788, text 74788 and type in J-E-S-U-S. There's someone standing by to encourage you, to help you as you get started in the Christian life. But right here in this room, we have ministers upstairs in the balcony, and we have our pastors here. I'm going to ask when we stand in a moment and sing that you come forward and up publicly profess your faith in Jesus Christ. Whether you are a small child or the oldest adult in this room, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And the act of coming forward, you'll be saying, I'm putting my trust in Christ. I'm admitting that I'm a sinner. I'm believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm confessing him as my Lord and Savior. And I'm doing what he's called me to do, and that is to follow him. Do that today. Do that today. There are others. You're a believer, you've not been baptized as a believer, why don't you come today and become a baptized believer? We'll make an appointment for your baptism. Why don't you come, others, and join this church? As we talked about moments ago, this is where God is blessing you. This is where God is using you as a testimony for Christ. Why don't you come and unite with us and ignite on our mission to take the gospel to the world? In fact, I would ask those of you who want to join Prestonwood today that you lead the way. Don't wait on others to come. Just come, and your testimony will encourage others to follow you, to put their faith in Christ. If you want to come and kneel and pray for yourself, for your friends, this altar is always open for prayer, and you can come. If you want to rededicate your life to Christ, the fact is you haven't been living for Christ. And a lot of the groaning and a lot of the pain in your life is self-inflicted. And you need to come for forgiveness and grace. And the Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you can come and you can get right with God today. Lord, thank you for your word to us, the power of your Spirit within us. And now use this time of decision, Lord, an invitation to bring countless souls to Christ in this room, around the world. Add to your church, bless your people, renew our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.